As if dancing with no pause was not enough of a challenge, Anna May had to beat her gums and keep up light conversation with every white chump who wanted to know her name, what it was like in China, how long would she be in Berlin, was she really a Hollywood actress, maybe they could show her around, all while making excuses for them every time they went off rhythm and stepped on her feet. She was perspiring steadily under the arms. Her dress was sleeveless and black, so there was no worry about sweat stains, but she wanted to catch her breath, and her mouth had tired of smiling. The last healer spun her in and threw her out with such smug gusto, as if she were a newly purchased hand-loomed carpet he was unfurling in his sitting room for all and sundry to admire. As the tune petered out, he leaned in. She thought he was bowing his thanks. "Just so you know," he whispered right by her ear, "I'm a high roller on this continent." Unsure of what she was supposed to do with this information, she went with it. "That's neat." "Well," he said, "have you decided with whom you'll spend the night?" Anna May bit down on the inside of her cheek to cover up her wince. 3 men ago, she told herself to turn the next dance down. Each time as the following guest stepped up, she found herself unable to say no, and she saw that in any case everyone was more than happy to misread her hesitation for shyness, even anticipation, as they took her hand. What she found repellent here was her unvarying incapacity, at times like these, to react in immediate accordance with her own feelings. She found it easier to fleece herself than to leave someone else less room to stand. Things had to hit the skids before she insisted on her terms. As the music changed, finally, she curtsied politely away from the next man in line. He, middle-aged and greasy-haired, was not amused by her rejection.
"After all," he said in German-edged English, refusing to budge as he waved his cane at the queue and his place in it. "Who must you think you are?"
She, too, might have liked to know the answer to his question. But to help them both out of it, she said, "My apologies, but I am afraid I am in much need of a glass of water." All the waiter had was Moët and Chandon. He promised to come back with some water. "Sparkling," he said, "just for you." "Still is fine," she called out after him. "Still water is better for me, if you wouldn't mind." But he had already left to fetch up the seltzer. When Anna May turned back, a flower-faced brunette in a long-sleeved metallic knit dress was standing rather too close, introducing herself as "just like you, also an actress, but here in Berlin." She was well-dressed, if in the self-conscious way of a freshly clipped poodle, and she had quick, darting eyes. With no small talk, she wanted practical tips for transitioning into Hollywood. "Already I have appeared in several Berg films," the brunette said. "Are there mountain movies in America? Do I need an agent?" "I'm not sure about mountains," Anna May said, "but as long as it has a love story." "It's true, isn't it?" A blonde stepped in, interrupting their conversation apropos of nothing. Only pansies know how to dress like a sexy woman. Anna May did not know what she was talking about, but the woman had a charmingly nasal voice. A wavy lock of hair came loose across the blonde's forehead as she took a short drag on her cigarette, tucked vertically into a holder shaped like a pipe. She nodded approvingly toward a gamin man in a red dress. The man's dress was cut down to his coccyx, and he was on the arm of a man in a velvet smoking jacket, with a matching wine-red rose for a boutonniere in his lapel. "Personally, I find such aberrations troubling," the mountain movie actress said, after the couple had passed. "The world might as well be topsy-turvy." The blonde exhaled smoke into their faces without blowing it upward. "What's not to like about a topsy-turvy world?" the blonde said, pushing back the curl from her forehead. "Women would be kings, and I'd wear pants all the time."
Anna May saw the brunette clutching for a rejoinder, but before she could open her mouth, a dignified-looking man with a camera, or was it just a man with a dignified-looking camera, approached them. The brunette surged forward to exchange a social embrace with him. He wanted to take their picture. All three of us? The brunette hesitated. Together? Yes, the photographer said, if they found themselves suitably inclined.